Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us of late, you know we're going through a series of eight broadcasts talking about this particular portrait of God that I call He is our creative healer. Man, I see a portrait of God throughout the scriptures. It's designed to point us up to Him, and we're taking a journey of seeing how He is our creative healer. And if you have your Bibles, let me just encourage you to start making your way over to Proverbs chapter 4. And then we'll also be in Luke chapter 15. And we have these 20 different reasons why the Lord, our creative healer, allows physical infirmities. And we've covered the first eight, which I'll review in just a moment. But we're going to cover 9, 10, and 11 today. And this is the fifth broadcast out of eight. So I'm excited about taking you on this journey as we continue to discover the Lord as our creative healer. And as you're making your way to Proverbs 4 and Luke 15, just a reminder that all of these 27-minute radio broadcasts are archived on my website. It's at markpg.org. All you do is click on the box that says broadcasts on the landing page, and the next page, just click on the box that says portraits of God. Boom, you're there. They have them listed, and you can listen to the archived messages and get caught up or share them with others. By the way, that landing page, that first one, you also have a box with printable guides, one-page guides on all kinds of topics to help you with the Christian life. Another box has videos, three-minute videos on portraits of God. Another one has articles, which I've written, musings of God in everyday life. But all of them are tools that have one purpose, to help you hear God. So that's markpg.org. And hey, as we get ready to go through our journey today, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm so grateful for the privilege of sitting together with my brothers and sisters at Your feet. We get to explore Your love letters to us. We get to see portraits of what You're like that also explain to us Your ways. And so as we're going through this particular portrait about how You are our creative healer, Lord, I know this can be a controversial subject to many, but we just want to take away that confusion and any competitiveness about the right view or so, and just see Your heart. So thank You for the privilege of walking together to discover how You are our creative healer. Oh, and we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, before we get to number 9, let me just kind of set it in context. The first 5 reasons why He allows physical infirmities are kind of the big picture items. Number 1, He allows physical infirmities to gift us with priority healing. He heals us kind of like triage, spirit, soul, and body. What's most important to Him at any given time? That's His prerogative. So be patient as He might heal you at any of those levels at any time. He gifts us with priority healing. Secondly, He gifts us with timely healing. He has His timetable for all things. We just have to learn to trust Him. Jesus even said, "Truly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of Himself unless He sees the Father doing." And then the third was to gift us with ultimate healing. The scripture says in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones." Why? Because death is not an end, it's a beginning. It's not termination, it's transition. It's ultimate healing. We'll be ultimate healed, body, soul, and spirit when we get to heaven. And sometimes the Lord chooses to use a physical infirmity to take us home to glory. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. We get home to be with the Lord. Number four. And by the way, those are the first two broadcasts to cover those three. Number four was to gift us with shareable comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 says that he allows our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So when people are going through grief in the five stages, and we've gone through that, we can help them go through that in the Lord. And then, number five, the Lord allows physical infirmities to gift us with prevailing grace. 2 Corinthians 12, when the thorn in the flesh issue came up with Paul, the Lord answered, and he said very, very clear to him, hey, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And so Paul said, well, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses or affliction, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So the Lord gives us prevailing grace in the midst of physical infirmities. Now, we began to take a turn here because last time, number 6, 7, and 8, we got more specific. Sometimes the Lord allows physical infirmities to remind us of our temporary bodies. You know, the Bible says that our outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. So, hey, the only reason you may be sick, hey, our bodies are just wearing out. Our suits, planned obsolescence. And then number 7, to prompt us toward nutritional lifestyles. Sometimes when our body is acting up physically, it's like a check engine light on your car. It says something's wrong, check under the hood. And it's how the Lord prompts us to more nutritional lifestyles. We looked at 10 keys to that last time. And then sometimes he allows physical infirmities, number 8, to reveal and heal broken hearts. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit, well, it dries up the bones. And that's a poetic way of saying you get sick. Our bodies were not designed to handle ongoing heartbreak. We looked at 7 hidden things that blind and bind our hearts. And again, that was last week's broadcast. You can go on the website at markpg.org to check message number 4 for those reasons. Now, number 9. Here's another reason why the Lord allows physical infirmities. It's to reveal and heal wayward hearts. Now, there's a difference between a broken heart. Jesus said, you will have tribulation. Things will happen to us. Sin will be done against us. We will sin. And we will experience the tough things of life, and it can give us a broken spirit or heartbreak and stuff. And our bodies aren't designed to handle all of that. And so it's the Lord's way of saying, hey, if you're having migraines or ulcers or whatever, hey, there's deeper things going on. And I want to reveal and heal that. So sometimes it's broken heart kind of issues. Last week's message, this week, I want to talk about how he reveals and heals wayward hearts. Proverbs 4:20 20 through 23 says, my son, give attention to my words. Verse 21, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. So watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. A wayward heart is when we don't give attention to those in authority, like a father or a mother or others, or to the Lord and his ways. And when we don't get the health in our whole body. Our body says something's askew. And when we get wayward, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, the Lord allows the consequences of our wayward heart, our wayward acts. Now, let me make something extremely clear right now. I am not saying if you sin, God's going to punish you. That's not what it's about. When we sin or we have a wayward heart, then the natural consequence of that is that we may experience some kinds of physical infirmity. We bring it upon ourselves because of our wayward heart, but it's not God punishing us with it. You know, if you use something for a purpose other than it was designed, you can break it. If you try to hammer a nail with a beautiful rosebud vase, you're going to ruin the rosebud vase. You know, because you're using it for something other than it was designed to do. Now, our bodies were designed for planned obsolescence and aging and things that happen, but it wasn't designed to handle perpetual broken hearts or to handle wayward hearts. So I love how the scripture tells us in the story of the prodigal son over it in Luke 15, where there are actually two prodigal sons. Let's talk about the first one, the younger brother, who did take all the inheritance from his father, said, I'm tired of being here. I want to get out on my own. I'm going to run away from home and I'm going to take my inheritance. And he did. And the scripture tells us in verse 17 of Luke 15, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. You see, he had a wayward heart. And I just want to give you a quick progression of how we end up getting separated or divided from our families or from the people of faith or from the Lord as we run off with a wayward heart. You see, it all starts with doubt. We saw that in the Garden of Eden when the enemy planted doubt in Eve's mind. Hey, has God really said you could not eat of this fruit and that type of thing? All right. When we start getting doubts and we don't take that thought captive and say, Lord, is this of you or not? Then that doubt can turn to distrust. And this happens with other people. It can happen with your mate or with your kids or with a pastor or with a leader or with government officials. We have doubts about whether they're doing the right thing or not. We have doubts whether they're being faithful or not. And then that goes into distrust. And if distrust settles in, then it almost doesn't matter what they do. We're going to give it the wrong spin because we don't trust them anymore. So doubt turns to distrust. Distrust turns to distancing. We start distancing ourselves from them. I'm not going to mess with them anymore. You know, there's something fishy here. Excuse me. From there, we distance ourselves from them more and more, and then it turns to distortion, because when we're so far away and there's distrust and doubt, then we distort whatever they're hearing or saying or what we hear about them, and it gets worse, and that leads to the division. So apparently, this younger brother started doubting his father's goodness and how good he had it there. He started distrusting it. He distanced himself. It got all distorted, led to a division when he went apart. And then he came to his senses and wanted to come back, and he came back. And his father was ready to heal that relationship and restore him and celebrate it with the fatted calf. Now that's when the story shifts to the older brother, who was actually the bitter brother. Because the scripture there says that when the older brother got wind that the father was giving a party for the returning younger brother, he answered, this is what the scripture says in Luke 15, 29 through 30, he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. Well, my friend, this brings us to number 10. Sometimes, number 9, the Lord allows physical infirmities to reveal and then heal our wayward hearts like the younger brother. But sometimes the Lord wants to reveal and heal unforgiving bitterness. And this is the older brother. This series of events exposed that he was bitter on the inside. I was angry. He didn't want to come to the party. He said, this son of yours, all this. And listen, when we carry around unforgiving bitterness, it will eat us away physically. We will experience physical infirmity, not as a punishment from God, but as a natural consequence from using our bodies and inner hearts and minds for something it was not designed to do. It was not designed to harbor unforgiving bitterness. And sometimes physical infirmities will come up, like that engine light lights up on your car, check engine, and you got to check under the hood. And when you let the Lord reveal what's going on, you might discover unforgiving bitterness. This puts Matthew 18, verses 32 through 35 in focus. This is when you had the unforgiving servant. One servant was forgiven for a huge sum by the master, but that very same servant had a debt owed to him and a small debt by another servant, and he didn't forgive him. And so when word got back to the master, the scripture says in Matthew 18, 32 and following that his Lord, that master, handed that unforgiving servant over to the torturers. And so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Oh, my friend, what I'm saying is simply this. To forgive others is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive. You've been held, been captive by unforgiving bitterness. Internally, I'll never forgive them for what they've done. Never, ever. And you just harbor it and you think you're punishing them for it, but you're actually putting yourself in bondage so the Lord will allow a physical infirmity to come upon us. He doesn't send it. He's not punishing us. He's just allowing the consequence of it so that we can look under the hood and let him reveal to us unforgiving bitterness and then heal us from that. I tell you, the story of the prodigal sons, plural, give us clear pictures of the problem of a wayward heart, one who obviously on the outside goes away and everybody can see it. But then there's the problem of the unforgiving bitterness that people sometimes don't see, because that older brother was saying, I have stayed here. I have been serving you. I've done everything you said. Well, he was doing it on the outside, but doing it with a heart of resentment and anger and self-righteousness. And the Lord is far more interested in revealing and healing the matters of the heart than he is about outward activities. He wants our good outward activities to flow from a good, healthy heart rather than being done in the flesh. Now, he'll still honor efforts of the flesh to a certain degree, but the Christian life is much, much better than that, my friend. And the way that the Lord gets us there is by allowing physical infirmities to come upon us so that we will be looking under the hood of our own hearts and lives more regularly to see if the Lord wants to reveal and heal a broken heart, or to reveal and heal a wayward heart, or to reveal and heal unforgiving bitterness. Or we'll go on to number 11 now, to reveal and heal stressful anxiety. Stressful anxiety. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, listen to these words. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. Now, I just love how that simple little verse connects the troubles of the body and the anxiety of the heart. In essence, there are times when your body, the troubles of your body, your infirmities, are signaling that you have some stressful anxiety at place. Now, let's just be really honest right now. Everybody experiences stress and anxiety. We know that. This is a fallen world. It is a messy world. It is an unfair world. Whenever anybody says life's not fair, you say, well, of course it's not fair. It never was. It never will be. You can't live your life and hope to be happy when everything gets fair, because it never will. There's something deeper that goes on. The Lord's gives us the kingdom of heaven for us to reside in. When we become saved, we become citizens of heaven. Now, we're hanging around the temporary earth for a season in our earth suits and our bodies, and so we're going to be susceptible to all of the troubles of this world and the unfairness of this world and the sin in this world, and it can lead to stressful anxiety. But here the scripture is saying, I want you to banish it from your heart. You know, this is why the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. There it is, an attitude of gratitude. A spirit of thanking the Lord, not for the hard things in life, but in them. Lord, I may be experiencing this physical infirmity or this tough situation at work or this tough family feud, but in this, I can still be thankful for so many other things, so many more things that are a great blessing from you. And I can also learn to trust you with these things that I cannot fix and I cannot control. I can have stressful anxiety over them, but it doesn't get me anywhere. Oh, Lord, may I learn to trust you. May I hear your voice that says, I got this. I got you. Shh. Settle down. Just breathe. Give it all to me. This is how the Lord wants to heal us from stressful anxiety. And sometimes we figure out we have stressful anxiety with the headaches that we get, or with the nauseousness that we experience, or any other, many other kinds of things, hives or something, you know, and blotches on our skin. I mean, the body was not designed to harbor stressful anxiety. So the Lord graciously says, hey, I'm going to allow those so that I can reveal and heal you of that. So let me just kind of get a little more practical about this stressful anxiety thing. I want to just take you for a moment over to Acts chapter 15. Now, this is where Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, had a great, great disagreement. Here's what the scripture says. This was over the issue of the second missionary journey. Now, Barnabas said, hey, Paul, I tell you what, let's take John Mark with us, which was his young cousin. Wanted to give him a second chance. Paul said, no way. He deserted us in Pamphylia in the first missionary journey. We're not going to take a guy we can't trust to hang in there with us. We're not going to baby this guy. I mean, you know, fool me once, shame on you. But fool me twice, shame on me for giving you another chance. But Barnabas, wait a minute, that's what we do. We give people second, third, and fourth chances. That's how you disciple. Anyway, the scripture says they could not see eye to eye because Barnabas was far more people-oriented, when Paul was far more project-oriented. And as a project, I need people I can count on, so Mark's not coming. Barnabas said, we're supposed to work with people, and he needs a second chance. He should come. And the scripture says, in verse 30 of Acts 15, there occurred such a sharp disagreement. Stressful anxiety, right? There occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And I love that last phrase there. And I love how the Bible gives us real life stories. Should they have had a sharp disagreement and departed from each other in that way? No, but they're works in progress. They saw things differently. Good men, good people, start off together, but then they have disagreements. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you, there's four ways you can react to a disagreement with somebody. One, it's like a knife. When somebody disagrees with you, you say something, they disagree. Does it feel like it's a knife attack, that they're attacking you? Well, guess what? It really isn't. It may sound that way and feel that way, or it might be a brick. Somebody says something or you say something and you just don't agree, but you don't want to have a knife fight. Well, good for you, but it's a brick of disagreement and you don't say anything. This is more passive aggressive. But over the years, with a mate that you have frequent, perhaps, or periodic disagreement, you may not talk about it. You might not like confrontation, but it becomes a brick between you, then another brick, then another one, then they start stacking up, and pretty soon, or not pretty soon, or over the course of time, you have a wall. Disagreement is not a knife attack, and it shouldn't be a brick wall being built brick by brick. Sometimes we see disagreement as a loss. An issue's come up, you're talking about it, a decision needs to be made, and yours doesn't get chosen, you feel like you lost. It's like losing the soccer game, losing the big football game or something like that. It's a loss and you're discouraged and you're hurt, and you're anxious, you're stressed. But guess what? Disagreement was never intended to be a knife or perceived as a knife attack. Disagreement is never to be a brick that ends up in the wall or a loss that makes you discouraged because you're a loser. No, a disagreement is a window. It's an open window of opportunity to stick your head through and see how another person is viewing things on the other side of that window. And then you get out of the way and they can look through that window back into your side and see how you're looking at things. The Lord wants to reveal and heal stressful anxiety in us. And one of the ways he does that is that when we find ourselves in disagreements that are leading to stressful anxiety, he says, it's not a knife, it's not a brick, it's not a loss. Son, daughter, it's a window. Take a deep breath, settle down. It's not a knife, not a brick, not a loss. Just look through the window and say, oh, okay, it does look different over here. And then get out of the way, let them look at your side, and then you walk through it. And you know what? When we do that, our spirit's happy, our mind, will, and emotions, which is the soul, is happy, and our body says, you know what? It's healthier. I have more energy when things are not as stressful as I've been making them. Isn't that great? Oh, the Lord, our creative healer, loves to reveal and heal broken hearts, wayward hearts, unforgiving bitterness, stressful anxiety, and much more, which we'll get to in the coming weeks. Well, Lord, thank you so much for this journey of seeing how you are our creative healer. And oh, Lord, thank you. We trust you. And we're just here to hear your whispers, do what you say, and trust you. And the healing in every level can come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Check out markpg.org. And until next time, fall in love with Jesus, your creative healer.